She actually said to me, I have never met anyone more unsuited to this line of work than you are. I thought when I got into that high-powered career, I'll finally be able to feel okay about myself.
And you didn't.
And it didn't work. In a way, the only place where we ever can live our life is in the moment.
Well, Gunlengsang, thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you for having me.
When it comes to your career path in life,
yes,
at least I've heard, you had unusual transitions in life, you know, coming from a corporate job.
Yes.
Being
yes.
told that you're very unsuitable for the job.
Yes.
And then...
Who told you that?
Going to... Well...
It's true.
I've heard you've... It was a public knowledge. It was not a private story,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You've
yeah,
mentioned
fine.
That, right? Into becoming a Buddhist nun.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit more about your story?
Yeah. So I worked... when I was about 22, mm-hmm. 23, I can't remember. It's all a blur now. I trained as a management consultant. We were sent out to big companies, sometimes in other countries, and we'd work together as a team to implement a new like IT system.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I work at different times. I worked on different stages of developing those IT systems. Yeah, it was very interesting. I mean, I remember at one time I worked in Rome. I did a project in Rome for six mm-hmm. months. And literally they put us in the most amazing apartment
yeah.
right by the Colosseum. And of course, Rome, such a beautiful city, beautiful food. I had beautiful clothes, you know. And yeah, it was so interesting. It was so fortunate, really, to have that experience because although I felt like I'd ticked all the boxes in my life, mm-hmm. it felt hollow. It felt like there was something missing.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really feel at peace. I was experiencing a lot of stress. And also, I just had this deep feeling. I remember particularly one morning waking mm-hmm. up.
Yeah.
And just thinking, there's got to be more to life than this.
You mean on that particular project in Rome?
Yeah, I felt that there was a big change mm-hmm. happening. I realised that I hadn't really found my purpose in life. I think that's what the real thing that I realised I was lacking was purpose. And then my father died, which had such a massive impact on me. Yeah, as my father was dying, I had the good fortune, really, to spend a lot of time with him. Mm-hmm. I was sitting by his bedside. I was actually sleeping by his bedside nearly every night for about mm-hmm. 6 weeks. And we were actually told he had about 3 days left to live, which was such a shock. I just remember really feeling like I wanted to help him. First of all, I was just in a state. But I just had this real sense, like, I want to help him. What must this be like for him? I want to help him. So I kind of dug deep. And I think at that point, I had started reading a little bit of Buddhism.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I kind of dug deep into my mind and I kind of asked for help.
You started to study Buddhism and there was something calling you to actually ask for help.
Yeah, I prayed from the depths of my heart. I remember it just being such a heartfelt prayer.
Yeah.
And it was amazing what happened. It was extraordinary. I had this sense of peace come over me and a sense of acceptance,
mm-hmm.
you know, that it is normal. It is actually normal to die. And as a result of finding what I would now call refuge,
mm-hmm.
which I'm now actively training and growing in my mind, which is what we teach people in Buddhism, to developing this refuge, this kind of wisdom in my mind, this faith that there is something beyond this ordinary world, that gave me a strength.
Mm-hmm.
And then for the following 6 weeks, I sat by his bed because I had this sense, what must that be like? to know that you're dying. And I had endless conversations with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And
about that?
About his life,
mm-hmm.
about, you know, what was coming. And it was like he went through all sorts of different stages. He'd go into denial. You know, sometimes he would be really, like, quite depressed. Sometimes he'd go into this state where it was like he was bargaining.
Mm.
I don't know if you've heard of that. And he, I remember him saying to me, when I recover, we're going to help people with cancer. And I remember made a pact. We both made a pact, and I feel I've kept that pact.
Yeah.
But that experience completely changed my life.
Shifted a direction.
Completely shifted. Yeah. It was the process of listening to him,
mm-hmm.
sitting with him hour after hour. It completely changed my life. You know, at one level, I realized that when I'm focusing on others, you know, when you're focusing on somebody who's very sick or really troubled or dying, what I came to experience is you forget about all your problems. You forget everything. You get this kind of clarity, this perspective on what really matters. You know, so when I was with him, I'd get this clarity that what really mattered was trying to help him.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave me a peace. It was amazing. I remember tasting that. Later on, I looked back and I thought, well, this is strange. You know, why was I peaceful at times? Yeah. But then when I got more into Buddhism, I understood much more.
So what did you understand?
The more you focus on someone else, you know, we train to focus on all living beings. And the more we take our attention off ourselves and just focus on others with a kind of loving mind, a mind that considers their happiness to be important, that values their experience, the more we take our mind off ourselves and move it onto others,
mm-hmm.
the more our mind feels peaceful.
So was that experience the pivot for you to then
totally
change your life path?
Life is short, you know. I'm going to die too one day. So I don't want to waste, I don't want to spend my life
mm-hmm.
worrying. I don't want to spend my life just, you know, running, chasing after money.
Yeah.
Or, you know, nice shoes or whatever.
Or being in Rome and looking over
Rome. And as beautiful as those things
yes.
are,
yes.
you know, there's nothing wrong with being in Rome. There's nothing wrong with having
but
nice things.
Not making them the meaning of your life. At least from that life. Perspective that you've been through.
Yes.
How can we marry the two of, you know, as a young person, to be looking at your future and, you know, following your dreams, but also finding depth in life as well?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it's very important that we don't try and shove ourselves into a box.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if we want to pursue a certain career, you know, I think it's important that we do that, you know, that we don't feel like, you know, I can't do the things I want to do. I think we all need to be authentic.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's so helpful to look deeply into our own experience and to ask ourselves some, you know, some really honest questions like, am I really happy?
Mm.
You know, am I really, what we mean by happiness is not like, am I really excited or, you know, am I always like exuberant with joy?
Mm-hmm.
It's more, do I have this kind of underlying sense of peace and this underlying sense of purpose? You know, do I feel like my life is really going somewhere?
Mm.
And I also think that, you know, lots of people, we read the news.
Yeah.
We're aware of so many things going on in the world. And it's just so helpful to think, what am I contributing to this world? And of course, within that, you know, whatever you're doing, whether you're at the supermarket or whether you're, you know, you're at a nightclub or you're at work or you're studying or you're scrolling or whatever, you know, we can transform all these activities by using them to learn, using them to enable us to grow, you know, to become wiser, to become more understanding, to become more compassionate, to become kinder.
And how can we do that?
Well, I mean, looking at our own experience is very, very useful. I think looking into our own mind and honestly, looking at our own thoughts and feelings and maybe seeing for ourselves that scrolling doesn't, you know, it's not leading us to deep peace or real confidence or a sense of purpose or happiness. And then we can also see the same things in, you know, when we're at a nightclub or, I mean, it's great. I'm not anti-fun, none of us are, you know, I think when we see that these things are a little bit hollow, you know, and actually because they're not making us happy, because they're not making us, giving us confidence, like getting loads of likes, it doesn't give us a true confidence, because confidence is a state of mind. And no amount of likes can give you that confident state of mind. Mm-hmm. But when we see for ourselves it's not working, then we can start to develop some authentic wishes to find another way. And we can also look around us and understand this is the same for everybody. You know, we're not unusual. None of us are that unusual. We might think that we're unique in our struggles or our suffering or our low confidence or whatever, but whatever we're feeling, we can use that as like a bridge
to connect with others.
To connect with others and see it's not just me. We like to think we're unusual, we're unique, but that's just not true. And so the more we look at our own experience of dissatisfaction, lacking confidence, not finding what we're looking for, the more we can see, I need to find a different way. I want to become someone who more and more is able to help others to do the same.
And looking at your life, you know, you pivoted quite strongly from having a career, then becoming a Buddhist teacher and Buddhist nun. How important it is to actually have a plan, you know, in your life when you're like, you look into the future, you're trying to find a way to navigate your life, perhaps also making sure that you are becoming happy as a byproduct of that. How important it is to have it all figured out when we are starting?
I think that's a very good question. I think young people can put themselves under so much pressure to have it figured out. You know, when you come to choosing what subjects you're going to study, you know, like maybe when you're 16 or 18, or people can feel under so much pressure to know exactly what direction they want to go in and to succeed in that direction. You know, I remember myself putting myself under huge pressure when I was doing my A-levels, just huge pressure. And because I felt like my future happiness depended upon it.
Yeah. Well, I think in our educational system, we get a lot of approval and validation from being successful in our education.
Yes.
So, of course, like then there is a trade of if I try hard enough, I will be, I don't know, more acceptable, more lovable. My family will praise me and they will be proud of me.
That's a big one.
Hopefully that's not in everyone's household, you know, but so many people struggle with that. And then the pressure is cooking inside.
Definitely. It can be intense. I mean, you know, I think people in their teens, 20s or even throughout our life, we can almost have this like to-do list of things that we feel we need to achieve.
This list became so long.
I know, so long. And it's almost like now we have so much choice.
Mm-hmm. So the list seems to be growing longer and longer, and perhaps it's a little bit harder to get to know the truth of how to make my life meaningful, you know, how to make my life with purpose and have a direction when it comes to choosing what are the next steps I want to make.
Yeah.
Do you have any advice for a young person facing, let's say, you know, coming out from university or something and facing the first career and all of those choices? Do you have an advice for them?
Yeah, I'd say definitely don't worry. It will all evolve. It will all evolve. I know it's not always easy, but I do think it's really worth thinking about, you know, taking some time, maybe being quiet and really reflecting on what moves you, what inspires you, what motivates you, and then go in that direction.
Mm. And don't worry about external pressure.
Yeah, don't worry about the pressure. Don't worry about the money. Don't worry about the status, because that will not give you that confidence that you long for. I thought when I got into that high-powered career, by the way, it was other people who were encouraging me to go into that career. I never believed I could do it, not for 1 minute.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, because I was always lacking confidence, and I thought if I get into that high-powered career with this big company, flash offices in London, lots of money, I thought if I do that, I will finally be able to be at peace with myself. I'll finally be able to feel okay about myself.
And you didn't.
And it didn't work. And I always remember, I actually was sent for this careers advice towards the end of the, because the company, there was a merger, and they were offering voluntary redundancies.
Did you volunteer?
I definitely volunteered. I pretended I was like, not sure.
Yeah.
But oh my gosh, I was just so sure. Because this was after my dad had died.
Okay, yeah.
And I'd had this sort of shift in perspective. But I remember I was sent for this careers advice. And the career advisor, they did this sort of personality test. And they said, she actually said to me, I've never met anyone more unsuited to this line of work. I mean, I was working in IT, computer programming and managing projects and all sorts of things, than you are. She said, according to this test, what really motivates you is being with people and caring for people.
Wow.
And in fact, I knew that because I remember managing this team and I came to realize that the bit I liked the most about the job
was the team.
Was not managing, not like meeting the deadlines, was not, you know, planning the project or whatever. The thing I liked the most about the job, I found most fulfilling, was when somebody in the team was struggling.
Wow.
With some aspect of their life. Maybe they were not well or tired or feeling a bit demotivated, whatever. And I realized that was the bit that inspired me, that felt a bit more meaningful. And so I think it's trying to, look into your heart. Look at the experience we have had so far in life and think, what is it that inspires me? What is it that moves me? You know, what do I want to make a contribution to this world? You know, it's very helpful to fast forward and think. You can even think, when I'm on my deathbed, what will I feel really glad that I did?
Yeah.
You know, and
probably Netflix every night is not on the list.
Sorry?
Probably watching Netflix every night is not on the list. It might feel nice in the moment, but it doesn't bring us closer to the feeling the fulfillment in life.
Unless we're learning from watching the Netflix.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or that's our job.
You can develop lots of compassion and through looking at people's experience on Netflix.
So also to recognize how to move into life with the most integrity, I guess.
Yes.
It's also, you could use that exercise of like fast forward.
Yeah.
Look from the perspective of you and ending your life, this life.
Yes.
And seeing what's the most rewarding, I guess, internally rewarding.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
So what will I be really glad that I did? Not just for me, but for my friends, my family, for my world.
Mm.
But I would say, you know, coming back to your original question, you know, what would I say to young people trying to make choices? I really would say don't worry, because it will evolve.
Mm.
If we're looking honestly into our minds, you know, meditation is a lot. It's all about really looking honestly in our minds and looking at our experience and learning to make that experience healthier and more beneficial.
Yeah.
But the more we look in our minds, and we our life will guide us, you know, mm-hmm. the things will evolve. I would never have imagined. There is no way I would ever have imagined I would have become a Buddhist nun, a teacher, doing what I'm doing, you know, when I was in my late teens. You know, I was actually, when I was in my late teens, I didn't even believe in religion. I thought mm-hmm. it was for people that, you know, just for people that couldn't cope with life. You know, I just thought it was for people that didn't have reason.
Yeah.
That were a bit illogical.
Yeah.
So I would never have imagined at that time that my life would have taken the course it did. But it's...
Are you happy that it did?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, to have that, to have that purpose mm-hmm. is everything. You
and
know?
Perhaps also to have found that purpose through the evolution of your own life.
Yeah, yeah. You
know? Because I don't think everyone has to become a Buddhist nun to find meaning
not.
And purpose in their life, right?
Yeah, definitely not. You know, there are many, many people that you know, practice meditation, practice Buddhism, who aren't nuns, they're not monks, they, you know, they have normal jobs. You know, people of all ages. I know people of all ages, all different types of careers, all different walks of life. You don't have to give anything up. Mm. It's all about transforming our intention.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
in which ways?
Well, just learning to have a deeper intention and just try, you know, like, for example, if you go out for lunch with some friends,
mm-hmm.
You know, you can go out for lunch with friends just thinking, I really want to have a lovely lunch. I want to have a really good laugh. I want to have a great time. And if you go with that expectation, it may work out.
Yeah.
And if it does, great. But it may be that your friend has just had some bad news, or your friend is struggling with their partner and they're getting really annoyed. And it's like if we have this expectation that happiness is mm-hmm. going to come from outside, it's mm-hmm. going to come from others, it's going to come from nice food, we actually make ourselves vulnerable to disappointment and mm-hmm. frustration. Whereas if we go and meet up with some friends and think, I always try and remember to do this. And I find it so helpful. When you're going to any situation, actually, I try and say to myself, may this be of benefit to them, and may I learn something from this situation. May I learn something from them. And it actually can be quite magical.
Yeah.
But the thing is, we're then relying upon our intention.
Mm-hmm.
Like it could be like a loving intention, you know, may I speak with a loving intention? May I speak in such a way that I'm going to put that person at ease?
Mm-hmm. So you're basically, because you've said that when we are going into this situation, if we have expectations of that situation to make us happy,
yes.
we might very much be disappointed.
Yes.
But you've said you can change your determination so that you are of benefit.
It's like if we expect our happiness, our sense of self-esteem, our you know, all these things to come from external circumstances, we're actually setting ourselves up for a huge amount of anxiety
mm-hmm.
and frustration and disappointment. Because if we really strongly feel, if we really strongly believe, in order to be happy, I need to do really well in my A levels, I really need this particular partner, mm-hmm. or I really need my life to go in this direction, I need to get into the best college, or if we really strongly believe this, then that gives rise to an anxiety, because deep down we know that we're not fully in control of those things. Mm. You know, you can study for an exam. I remember this happening to me. I studied for an exam. It was so funny. I was going to do law with European law at university. And I studied for this exam. And I put myself under so much pressure. Mm-hmm. And in one of the exams, a question came up that I just hadn't anticipated. And it threw me. And as a result, I didn't get the grade I was predicted to get for that.
Yeah.
Just that one exam.
Yeah.
I then didn't get into the university, do the course that I planned to do.
Yeah.
So my life just took a completely different
turn. From one exam.
I ended up going to a different university, studying different things. And at the time, that felt like a disaster.
Mm.
It almost felt like my life was ruined and I had to go to plan B. But what was so interesting is now I am so glad I didn't get plan A.
Yeah.
Because if I'd have got plan A, who knows? You know, it's so interesting looking back on life, mm-hmm. isn't it? It's like I look back on almost pretty much everything that I ever remember happening to me. Every experience I've had, every failure, mm-hmm. every difficulty. And I look back on those and I think they've all been incredibly beneficial. Because I've learned so much from them.
Yeah.
And it's that inner, it's the inner wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
It's the acceptance. It's the compassion for others, you know, respect for others. It's peace, being able to find some peace in your life. Those are the things that really make us happy,
mm-hmm.
aren't they? You know, it's like if you're, our teacher, Venerable Geshe Kelsang Gyatso, you know, it's so simple and yet so powerful, life-changing. He says, when our mind is peaceful, we are happy.
And yet we run around in life like headless chickens trying to make plan A happen.
Yeah. Whereas it's so simple.
Mm-hmm.
When our mind is peaceful, we're happy regardless of our external situation. You know, when I was with my dad and he was dying, there were moments of peace and happiness because I felt like I was helping someone. I felt that I had perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't worrying about really things that really don't matter in the whole scheme of things.
Is there anything that people can integrate in their life when this happens, you know, when you're like in that situation where you're trying to pursue something meaningful in your life, but it's not working out?
Yes.
How can we not get discouraged? And how can we still continue with like applying, I would say, a little bit more joy into this, even regardless difficulties?
There are many, many methods for doing this. You know, I think one practice that is so important and so helpful, so powerful, you know, when anything happens that we don't want, that we don't like, when things don't go according to plan, is to train in what we call acceptance,
mm-hmm.
like patient acceptance. There's beautiful advice given by my teacher, Venerable Geshe-la, where he says, we need to give up the idea that things should be other than the way they are. You know, there's a whole book written about how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But I think just that one sentence is just such a beautiful mantra that we can spend time contemplating again and again, and we can keep coming to it. You know, we can sort of say to ourselves, I need to let go of the idea that this shouldn't be happening. I need to let go of the idea that I shouldn't have made that mistake.
Mm.
I need to let go of the idea that this person should reply to my texts now, or that I should pass this exam, because life will will definitely teach us to let go of our unrealistic expectations. You know, we almost have this sort of fairy tale idea about life. Like, it's almost like, you know, the children's books. Mm-hmm. I don't, you know, if you ever read a children's book to a child, the way life is depicted is like all these little children, you know, all playing and all everyone happy and everybody being nice to each other, and there's no poverty, there's no sickness. And it's almost like we very much can have this idea that this expectation that life should go this way, that way. I should be like this. They should be like that. Yeah. This is how everything should work out. But the beautiful thing is, I know it sounds funny to say it's beautiful, but it is beautiful.
That it won't?
It's beautiful. The beautiful thing is that it won't. But life, one of the beautiful things about when things go wrong, every time something goes wrong, every time somebody lets us down, every time we make a mistake or we fail, I don't even like using that word because I don't really think anything's a failure from one point of view. But every time we do that, that's helping us to lower the bar of our expectations.
Oh, but that's painful.
Yes.
I have to lower my expectations. I would like to thrive in life. I want my life to be beautiful and sparkling. And I want to, you know, let's say that's not my desire, but some people want to travel around the world. And I guess, yeah. What do you mean by lowering the expectations? So that we don't strive to have a good life?
No. Sometimes things do work out to some degree. You travel the world, it's not going to give you lasting peace. But, you know, things do work out. It's not saying that things never work out. And it's not saying that we shouldn't aspire to, you know, to have nice things, to go to nice places. What Buddha is encouraging us to do is to let go of what we call our attachment, desirous attachment. Attachment which kind of expects these things, attachment which exaggerates the power of these things to make us happy. You know, if we really fixate on something, like I want to pass this exam, and if I do this, this will make me happy. And we can even think this will make me happy for my whole life, because I'll be able to get to that university, I'll be able to get that job or whatever. Yeah. If we have that strong attachment, it's like giving the keys to our happiness away. It's like everything rests on that. And we then have this strong expectation. I want this to happen. This needs to happen. But the reality is that so often things don't go according to plan. People don't always it's not like in the children's books.
Yeah.
Everybody struggles. Everyone's struggling. So people do make mistakes. People do let us down. You know, we ourselves are far from perfect. You know, we have all of us have all sorts of unhelpful mental habits. You know, we don't need to feel bad about it. It's just the way it is. And so expecting ourselves to always get things right is painful, and it's so much pressure. But when we make a mistake, yes, of course, there can be a lot of pain. But even if within that pain, even if to begin with, there's just moments of you can just say to yourself, I need to give up the idea that things should be other than the way they are. This is what's appearing. This is what's arising in my life. I did make that mistake. I did make that stupid comment in the meeting. I did fail that exam. Me fighting with it mentally, thinking this shouldn't be happening, that I shouldn't have done that. If you really think about it, it's not going to change anything, is it? You know, so many people beat themselves up, don't they?
Yeah.
We can beat ourselves up thinking, I shouldn't have said that. Why did I say that? But we can get stuck. It's like in a broken record. You know, why did I do that? Beating ourselves up. Why did I do that? I shouldn't have done that. But it doesn't somehow, that mental activity that circular thinking doesn't somehow kind of magic a time machine, does it? That enables us to go back into the past
and change it. And make it perfect.
And in fact, that situation has completely gone. It's completely ceased. Everything about it, Buddha says, has completely ceased. We're a fresh new person every moment. Mm-hmm. So we're just causing ourselves so much pain. You know, our pain comes because we're holding on to ideas that things should be other than the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then we fight. It's like we're fighting with reality. It's like rather than... I remember once walking along a seafront, and if I walked in one direction, the wind would be in my face. You know that experience, and it's really hard to walk. It's like a really strong windy day, and it was really hard to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I turned round, and then I moved in the opposite direction, the wind was behind me. It's like the wind was in my sails.
Yeah.
And it almost felt effortless to walk in the other direction. So it's almost like the more we develop these internal, our purpose, our intention becomes more, I want to allow life to mold me. I want to grow. I want to become wiser. I want to become more accepting. I want to become kinder. Not that there's anything wrong with the way we are, you know, from one point of view.
But we can evolve, so
but we
why
can
not?
Evolve. I want to do this not just because it's this acceptance, this kindness, this love, which is the true cause of happiness, but also because then I can be more a source of peace. I can be someone who's able to maybe stay calm in a challenging situation. I can become a source of peace and wisdom eventually in this world where the world is crying out. The world so needs peace, wisdom, compassion. Well, how are we gonna bring that into this world? We need to grow it in our own mind.
Mm-hmm. So is it possible to balance having a plan in our life and trying to conquer our life in the most beneficial way and live in the moment?
Definitely. I mean, in a way, the only place where we ever can live our life is in the moment. And, you know, in Buddhism, you know, our teacher, Venerable Geshe Kelsang Gyatso, encourages us to be watching our mind moment by moment. That might sound a little bit like effort or hard work, but it when you get used to it, it's not. It's like you're watching your mind and you're taking responsibility for your mind more, or training in it, moment by moment by moment, which is an amazing thing, because then when things arise and you start to notice an unpleasant feeling arising in your mind, you then start to have the capacity in the moment to understand where that unpleasant feeling is coming from. You know, so it could be the unpleasant feeling's coming because we're too focused on ourselves.
Or we are not accepting.
Or we're not accepting. And, you know, or maybe we're focusing on our own faults or our mistakes. And when you start to notice, okay, I'm having an unpleasant feeling, but it's just because of where I'm putting my attention, you then start to have the freedom to move your attention. You know, I've had so many experiences where I felt like I'm in a situation and it feels very challenging. For whatever reason, it could be being with someone who's dying or being with somebody who's very upset or even being in a situation where there's maybe some conflict or something. And then if you manage to move your mind to that person and just try and connect with their experience, take your mind off yourself and move it onto them, that helps us to have a sense of peace. I remember one time, I was having to do a funeral quite a few years ago, and I was leading a funeral.
Oh, okay.
And it was the first one I'd ever done. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, this is such a big pressure. You know, I don't want to get it wrong for these people. I want it to be, you know, what, you know, a peaceful experience for them. And I started to feel a little bit tense. And then I just caught myself and I thought, this isn't about you. You know, these people, are suffering. They're experiencing grief, loss. It's not about you. And then, so then when we notice this happening in the moment, we can then move our mind to other people in a kind of loving consideration. So, and then our state of mind changes. Mm-hmm. Mind becomes more peaceful.
Yeah. So living in the moment doesn't necessarily mean that I have to be focused on myself. It is just being present with your mind and what is.
Definitely.
Rather than what we might think or what we might wish.
Yeah, definitely. We don't want to focus too much on ourselves in an exaggerated way. We need to care for ourselves. Mm-hmm. We need to develop healthy self-respect. That's very, very important. But the way we will do that is more by caring for others, by expanding our perspective. You know, like the more we focus on ourselves and focus on what we want and our mistakes and what's not right in our life and how we're not good enough, oh, that can be such a bottomless pit of negativity, robbing us of our confidence. You know, our teacher, Venerable Geshe, says that's useless. It takes us nowhere. It doesn't help us. It doesn't help anyone. If instead of doing that, we turn our attention to others and we think, I'm just not alone in this experience. How wonderful it would be through my experiencing this and through learning to be more at peace in this situation, I'll be able to help others in the future. You know, so yes, we're in the moment in as much as we're watching our mind, we're guarding our mind, we're trying to hold beneficial thoughts moment by moment, wherever we are, whatever we're doing. That is our meditation practice. That's the meditation break practice. But yeah, we're trying not to focus too much on ourselves.
And what about those who don't want to be Buddhist?
Oh, you don't have to be Buddhist to practice Buddhist teachings, which is very beautiful. You know, they're just, you know, in our centres, we offer meditation classes to anybody, everybody. We have people of all different walks of life, different religions coming along, but they're just simply scientific methods for developing our good qualities of mind, you know. Buddha teaches us exactly how we can develop pure love. And most people in the world don't really know what pure love is. I remember I just started going to meditation classes in London. And I remember I'd just been to a few classes. At that point, I didn't consider myself to be a Buddhist. And I remember on one of these classes, the teacher taught about love, and she taught how to develop a mind of love that recognizes that just as my happiness is important, so too is the happiness of others. And she also taught I am only one. I am only one living being, and others are countless. So, you know, my suffering, my problems are actually insignificant when compared with the experience of countless living beings. And I remember I learned that, I just went to that class, and that weekend I was going to a wedding, and I went to my mum's house on the Friday to pick up my shoes that I was going to wear to the wedding. And these shoes for me were amazing. They were almost more than just a pair of shoes. I felt that when I wore those shoes, I was just so cool because I was wearing those shoes. It's ridiculous, really, when I look back. But anyway, I remember going to my mum's house to pick up these shoes. I went upstairs to the spare room where I'd left the shoes, and I couldn't find them. And I called down to my mum, and she said, I said, where are the shoes? You know, where are my shoes? I want to wear them to the wedding tomorrow. And she said, which shoes? Do you mean the ones that you left next to the charity shop bag? At which point my mind, I developed this strong, painful feeling in my mind, this incredible fear. It was like my dream of going to this wedding wearing these beautiful shoes was falling apart, and I was going to have to wear my work shoes. And I went, yes. And she says, I'm really sorry. I thought you didn't want them anymore, so I gave them to the charity shop. And I remember remembering at that, I started to feel really angry with my mum and really unhappy. And I remember at that point, suddenly it was like a seed that had been sown in my mind through that class. I suddenly remembered that teaching on love. And I remember walking down the stairs. I went out the front so I didn't see my mum. I didn't trust myself at that point to have a conversation with my mum. I went out the front. I looked up at the stars, and I just imagined myself standing on one of those stars looking down. And at that point, just moving my mind in that direction created this space. And at that point, I remembered that a war had just broken out in Iraq. And from that perspective, I suddenly had this sense of, it doesn't matter that I've lost my shoes. I mean, that's so insignificant. I am only one person surrounded by countless living beings. It's actually insignificant. And with that experience was so helpful for me, because it gave me a taste of the power of meditation, or the power of love. It made me realize that it is medicine for the mind that will heal our anger, our pain, the more we practice it. And so even though I couldn't wear the shoes to the wedding, which had been my purpose, I had to wear my work shoes, what I learned from that experience was way more valuable than any pair of shoes.
And I bet at the wedding nobody even noticed.
No one even noticed. I don't even know any of those people anymore. So I really doubt they're sitting there thinking, do you remember that woman that came to the wedding wearing the frumpy shoes? And also, the charity shop would have got a really good deal. Somebody would have got a good deal. The charity shop would have made some money. So in the whole scheme of things, there was no problem.
You just had to get over yourself.
Yeah, totally.
To appreciate that.
Totally.
Yeah. So it seems like having a bigger perspective like that can help us in life.
Not to
grasp too much at plan A.
Yeah.
Be a little bit more flexible for plan B, C, D, and all the other letters.
Very much so.
And yeah, it seems like training the mind can help us to create a more flexible mind that can welcome whatever arises.
Very much so. And actually use it to our advantage. You know, if we want to become stronger, if we want to become more resilient, if we want to become more accepting, if we want to become more understanding of others, we actually need difficulties. You know, like if you're in the gym, you need bigger weights if you want to strengthen your muscles. You know, through training in acceptance, training in Buddhist meditation, we can train to see things in a different way. You know, we can think, I'm glad this traffic jam is happening. We can even get a sense of joy sometimes. You know, you can like, this is just what I need. Especially if you start the training and you're like, you know, like I got with those shoes when I realized I'd lost the shoes, but I got this insight into I don't have to become unhappy just because things aren't going my way. I can use this as a precious resource. To train my mind. And of course, all of this takes practice. It's not like you just read one Buddhist book, or you just go to one class and that's it. You're never going to suffer again, or you're always going to be accept. It's such a training, you know, but it's just so wonderful to have that purpose in life of wanting to awaken our Buddha nature, our gold nugget, our pure essential nature, for the sake of later on in this life, for the sake of today, for the sake of our countless future lives, but also for the sake of all living beings. No?
Yes.
Because boy, does this world need wisdom and compassion. Boy. And I feel so happy. If I didn't have these practices now, I would really be struggling so much, because I've always wanted to change the world. I've always wanted to help the world. And if I now, at this point, was watching the news and I didn't feel that there was hope, I didn't feel that there was methods for, you know, everybody has this Buddha nature and methods exist. There are solutions. If I didn't feel that, and I didn't feel like I was part of that solution, you know, I would find that quite difficult. So yeah, I feel very, very grateful, incredibly grateful to have been given this amazing opportunity to
have pivoted in your life.
Yeah. But it was difficulties that led me there. And so it was difficulties, but also meeting a very, very kind, incredibly qualified spiritual teacher who's given me everything I need to make my life meaning everything.
Lexan, thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me. So.
No, thank you for coming today. I think it's been a very precious conversation.
I hope so. I hope it's helpful for people.
Thank you.